shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We live in a no-want zone. He provides all that we need. Our needs are taken care of. Does that make sense? Taken care of. Already. Already. God expects us to come to Him and ask Him, but those things are already made available to us because He's the shepherd. The shepherd not only knows his sheep. Jesus said, I know my sheep. I know them, right? And they follow me. But not only does He know them, He provides for them. And another thing is He knows what we need. We don't have to wonder as to whether or not tomorrow is provided for. Is that right?
That's right?
If He cares for the sparrows, if He cares for the lilies, then how much more so does He care for us?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for His name's sake. We meet another name here in verse number 3. The Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Sidnu. Jehovah Sidnu. The Lord our righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I love the way this psalm is constructed. Look at it again and listen carefully as I say this. He leadeth me. You see how personal this is? Until we have that kind of a personal relationship with the Lord, we are not where we need to be. He leads me. He leads us, but He leads me. He leads His children, but He leads me. He loves His church, but He loves me. The thing kind of gets personal, doesn't it? And when it comes home to us and we realize it's personal, that's when we really realize He is my shepherd. This personal pronoun is used over and over in this psalm. And it refers to how He is to us and how we are to Him. This relationship is unparalleled, extremely unparalleled. He leadeth me in the paths, plural, of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm going to try to delve into that thought, if I may, for the next few moments. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That tells me that there is more than one path here. Not that there are several paths to God, but there are several paths of righteousness according to the writing. Let's explore that thought for just a moment. Kind of help us a little bit. Paths of righteousness, plural, more than one. Simply put, it is that God will lead you and God will lead me. We all go to the same fold, but God will lead us in a different path. My path is not your path. You have a different path to trod than I. In the context, listen carefully, in the context that you will face issues that I do not face in life. But those issues are designed for you. And the issues of my life are designed for me. The issues of your life may break me. The issues of my life may break you. But God knows what we need to lead us through these things to develop us and make us what He will have us be. None of us face the same issues in life, do we? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I'm grateful to God that the issues that you face are not mine. And you better be grateful to God that the issues that I face are not yours. You see, these are designed for this sheep. Your path is designed for you as a sheep. God knows what you must face in life to bring you to that mature state. And God knows just how much of this, not to break you, but to develop you. Remember, I've said to you often, discipline in our life is not to destroy us, but rather to develop us. God's whole intent is to bring us to maturity. Now, if God intends to bring us to maturity, will it come to pass? Sure it will. We are predestined to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, what are you going to have to go through to bring you to that point? Can I tell you what you're going to have to go through? What you're going through right now. The issue that you're facing today. Oh, but Brother Lai, the devil brings this on me. Wait a minute. Just back up a touch. Wait a minute. You remember that even in the Old Testament economy, when Job is mentioned, nothing happens to Job without God's permission. Can I tell you something? None of these things happen to you. All these things that you come by in life that you look at as disasters are really little development tools that God is using to bring you where He's going to bring you to in your development for His glory. Amen. We had an elderly lady in the church in Florida, and everything that happened, she'd say, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And she'd invent things to happen, so she'd say, "Praise the Lord," I think. She was an unusual woman. She was a congressional secretary for years in Washington. Brilliant lady. Why in the world she came to hear me preach, I don't know. Brilliant lady. But God saved her. And all of that turned heavenward, every bit of it. She, bless her heart, she was so heavenly minded, sometimes you couldn't slow her down enough to say anything to her. That's just Sister Margaret, Brother Gary, you remember. And one day, one of the elderly gentlemen in the church, his truck had broken down out on the main highway. And Sister Margaret came by, recognized him, and stopped to pick him up. Well, just beyond the church, on the side road of the church, just beyond the church, the railroad track crosses the road. She picked Brother Bryant. She was taking him to his house to get one of the boys to come back and help him get his truck. When she came to that railroad track, she just went right straight across it. Didn't even slow down. That didn't have any arms there then. I mean, she just, whoom, right straight across. As soon as she got across it, threw both of her hands up and said, "Thank you, Jesus." He said, "Let me out. Let me out. I want out now. Don't want out at the house. I want out now." And he made her stop and he got out of that car. And I don't blame him. You see, that's inventing things. Huh? Now, God protected her in that, or else the train would have been there. But that's a foolish thing to do, isn't it? I can praise God on credit. I'm not going to invent something like that in order to say praise the Lord. But the things that happen in our lives, the things that God brings in our lives. Now, a lot of things we bring on ourselves. Can you say amen to that? Amen. A lot of things we bring on ourselves and try to blame God for it. We know when God is taking us through this valley. One of these days we'll get there. But we know what the design is. We know if God's dealing in this thing. We may not know it exactly now, but we know. Job didn't know, start off with. And do you know that Job never found out why? And the benefit of it. Now you see we're under this cloud, and all we see is the dastardly thing that's coming upon us. Do you suppose Job, in his time of conflict, and that's what it was, in his time of conflict, do you suppose Job wondered? Verbally he wondered, didn't he? But I love the words. though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That ought to be the very thing that comes from our heart. Not our mouths, but our heart. Our heart ought to issue that very thing spontaneous. Though he slays me, yet will I trust him. The shepherd is trustworthy. The sheep learns that the shepherd is trustworthy. And the sheep learn that through conflict. If there is never a crisis in your life, you'll never develop. Let me show you something. We're living in a generation of people, the generation behind my generation, for the most part, have no practical common sense at all. They have the common sense of a wedge. That's a lot of common sense, isn't it? Do you know why? Because mamas and daddies have said, I don't want you to have to go through what I went through coming up. And one of the worst things you can do to a child is say, I don't want you to have to go through what I... What you're saying is, I don't want you to grow up. I don't want you to grow up. I want you to stay a kid all your life. And we have succeeded in raising now two generations that are adults, and another generation coming on that, God help us, I don't know what that's going to be. But we've succeeded in raising two generations of grown folks that are still kids. They think like kids. They play like kids. You see, there's no reality. When you're a child, reality just doesn't strike you at all. Right? Everything's play, play, play. Where are we today? I ask you, where are we? Our government officials are kids. They react. They don't act, they react. Knee-jerk reaction. Who's to blame? The generation that reared them, that said, I don't want you to have to go through what I went through. Every kid ought to have to plow at least one field in his lifetime. Every child ought to milk a cow at least once. Know where they come from. Every child ought to gather eggs. Every child ought to have to pick up the trash. Amen. Every child ought to have to clean up the yard, mow the yard. Say amen right there. But mom and dad, you know what? Not too long ago, someone said to me, I'd rather do it myself than to put up with it. Do you know what they just done? Let's jip that child. I'm going up. Are we aware of what I'm saying, what I'm dealing with here? Are we aware? Huh? God takes us through things. The old songwriter, let's see if I can pull this up from my memory. Some through the fire, some through the flood. No, what? How does it go? Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. See, there are things that we will face day by day, whether we be young or old, there are things that we're going to face for one reason. God is developing us. But do you ever wonder why soldiers and sailors and Air Force and Marines, why they go through what's called boot camp? They're supposed to make men out of them. But that's just the ground floor. The rest of it's what makes the man out of them. But in the ground floor, they're teaching them discipline. You do what you're told to do. And at one time, there were repercussions for that. Nowadays, mama has screamed so much and said, I don't want you to talk to my child like that. Now we got sissies on the battlefield. It's a pathetic thing, dear ones. Pathetic thing. What I see on the street today, God help me if that outfit has to defend me and defend our liberties. I'd rather go back and do it myself. We ought to have an army of old men. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. An army of old men that go back and get the job done. Come to the house and shout it out. Say, what happened over there? Well, they just left. They done left out. Went up and smoked. Do it like we used to do it.
Amen.
Instead of talking about it and never do anything about it. Send them little letters and say, you ought not do that. This is a sick country. God deals with His children in a disciplinary way to develop us into being saints. Let me say it like this. He's making us fit for glory. Our astronauts have to train and train and train and train because they're going to an atmosphere unlike ours. And they have to put on garments in order to survive in that atmosphere. Do you think you're going to go to heaven without some training beforehand? I don't think so. I don't think so. God's not going to take us to glory. Another atmosphere, are you listening? Another world, if you will. An eternal world in the eternal presence of an eternal God. We're not going there unless we're prepared to go there.
Amen.
We need to quit complaining when He's preparing us.
Amen.
And like Sister Margaret, I'll say, well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Sister Sherry told me the other night, she said, after she failed, she said, well, thank God that's over. And I don't know that that's not a good thing. Thank God it's over. God's blessings and God's development on our lives are exactly what is necessary to get us ready for the other world. You could not possibly live in heaven with the mindset you have tonight. That's why you're still here. You're a work in progress. I saw a bumper sticker not too long ago, and it said, don't judge me yet, I'm a work in progress. Have you seen that bumper sticker? I saw that the day, and I thought, boy, how true that is. We're all a work in progress. Because if we were complete, we'd be out of here. He leadeth me in the paths. Now we understand the paths thing. The paths of righteousness, all of them are right. That's what that word means. Righteousness is right. It slipped me what the word is for that at this moment. But nonetheless, Sidnu, there it is. Sidnu, righteousness. These paths are all right. Now watch what I'm saying. Right for you, right for me. My path is right for me. It's the path God has chosen for me. After the meeting in Cleveland, a young preacher came to me two or three nights during the meeting and he said, Brother Larry, I need some help. I want you to help me with this, help me that. We got home and he called us and I spent probably an hour or so on the telephone with him at home trying to get him to see that God is in charge. And he wasn't argumentative at all. I wouldn't have fooled with him. He wasn't argumentative. He said, I see this, but I need help with it. I'm searching for it. I want to see it. And finally, I told him, I said, do this for me. Go to Acts 13:48 and do a study. And when you learn what it means, just go out on the porch somewhere by yourself and shout it out because you've learned of how God works with mankind. How this all comes to pass. Your life is ordained of God. Your salvation is ordained of God. Your path is ordained of God. And it's right for you. Brother Larry, you don't understand what I've gone through. The path is right for you. The young man, Brother Brad Freeman, the young man that's paralyzed. He's been here with us a couple of services anyhow, in the wheelchair. They were visiting relatives up north, coming back home, and a fallacy in the automobile that had been recalled and supposedly fixed happened. Something in the steering gear just broke. And the car left the road and so on, not get into that story. But over and over, I've heard him praise the Lord because of the circumstance he's in, because he has been able to, through that circumstance, be a real witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, just what, a month ago now or so, his scooter, he had one of the grandchildren on the scooter, and the grandchild reached over and grabbed the steering mechanism on the scooter, and he fell off, injured himself. But this may, in his path, this may be a blessing in disguise, because where he had not before had feeling and so on and movement in the lower part of his body, now some of that is beginning to reoccur. Are you listening to me? And we're praying. He'd called Brother Harold, the pastor at the church down there in the meeting in Cleveland. He said, "You pray, because next year maybe I can run and shout with the rest of them." Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing? But just pray for him. He realizes that this is his path. Few people in life you'll meet that will resign themselves to the truth that this is the will of God for my life. You see, Romans 8:28, and you've heard me say this before, but let me say it again, is the hardest verse of Scripture in the Bible to believe when you're on the stump. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Notice the emphasis. Let me say this. You are a them. I am a them. And this path that God has chosen for me is the right path. Boy, won't it be a great day when we realize that, when we understand that God makes no mistakes. And along the way, the happenstance, the so-called accidents, it's your path. It's my path. And my path is going to work out for my benefit and for God's glory. And your path is going to work out for your benefit and for God's glory. Quit pointing your finger and saying them, because you're them. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now, here's where I want you to get in on this tonight. I want you to learn this. If there is a passage in the Old Testament that screams grace, here it is. For His name's sake. Shepherds belonged to a caste. That is a group or a club, so to speak. And the only way they could maintain their membership was to keep their name untainted. If their name became tainted, then they lost their standing and were no longer a part of this exclusive club. A shepherd that lost a sheep, lost his standing. His name is gone. A shepherd that allowed a sheep to stay in the wilderness overnight, lost his standing. His name is tainted. Let me go here for a minute, if I may. Just stay with me a moment. I'll hurry. We hear this all the time. Oh, I was saved so many umpty-ump years ago, and I'm just backslid. Now, I've told you that backsliding is impossible for the New Testament saint. There just ain't no nay, never none of such a done it. Just doesn't happen. Now, I didn't say you can't get out of the will of God, but backsliding is impossible. Backsliding is not even a New Testament word. It only occurs in the Old Testament. In the New Testament economy, the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, lives within us. How can you backslide from someone who lives in you? Now you understand that, right? So then here comes this individual and says to you, "Oh, I'm saved, but I'm backslid, been backslid for 20 years. If the shepherd lets the sheep stay in the wilderness overnight. He loses his name. When the prodigal came home, the calf was still a calf. It wasn't an old cow. It was still a calf. What I'm saying to you is the shepherd loves his sheep, and the shepherd stays by his sheep, and the shepherd, when the sheep strays, instantly moves to bring that sheep back into line, or else he loses his name. Now listen to this statement. You don't stay in line because you decided this is wrong, that's right, I can do this or I can't do that by living under a group of laws that you've made up for yourself. You stay in line because the shepherd keeps you in line. Why does he do that? Because it's his responsibility. His name is at stake. When God was about to destroy the children of Israel, Moses said to him, the enemy, that crowd is going to say that you brought them out here in the wilderness and you couldn't provide for them in the wilderness, so you slew them in the wilderness. You know what Moses is saying? Your name is at stake. Your name is at stake. Do you know why any of us will make it into heaven? Because his name is at stake. We talk about our name being in the book, and thank God it is, and I rejoice that it is. But you're not going to heaven on the basis of anything other than the name, the name, the name of the Lord God Almighty. Blood washes our sins away, but grace takes us home. And grace screams and says, for His name's sake. I tried through the years to teach our seminary students and people in our church, learn this truth. You labor because His name is important. You labor because you love His name, not because of a bunch of rules and regulations, but because His name. Don't give the enemies of God cause to blaspheme. That's what David had done, isn't it? And we're prone to do the same thing. I went to Florida. I was just a young man. I'd been down there, I guess, a year when I came home and Ginger and I were married. We went back down there, didn't have an automobile. And we went to buy an automobile. The fella asked me, said, do you have anyone that we could call as a character reference? And I gave him George Brown's name in Hampton, had Brown's Grocery and Hardware Store in Hampton. And I heard him. I was sitting across the desk when he called. He said, I've got Larry Montgomery here in front of me. He said, he's wanting to buy a car, and I'm just calling to check on his character. And he said, is that Warren's boy? He said, yes, sir. He said his dad's name was Warren. He said, if that's Warren Montgomery's boy, you give him anything on the lot, it'll be paid for. You know what he said? He said, his daddy has a good name. I want to tell you, my Heavenly Father, Jehovah Sidnu, the Lord my righteousness. His name sake, nothing else. The times you've strayed, He brought you back for His name's sake. He could have let you go, but you're His sheep and He loves you. And His name's at stake. No greater thought for the believer in his security than to know His name is at stake. Praise God. We get to glory. We're going to understand a bit more of what I'm talking about, hopefully. And we'll see that His name. No wonder His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. For His name's sake.